appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with us for the reading of God's holy word? Let's begin in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. Let's go back. We're going to preach on the rapture. So we'll need to go to Genesis to find it. The 16th chapter of the book of Genesis in verse number 11. I'm going to read several scriptures to form a basis for the message tonight. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the midst or the presence of all his brethren. He won't move too far. What a prophecy. The 25th chapter, let's stop there while we're passing by. There's a little verse that I think will throw some light on this message tonight. The 25th chapter and the 23rd verse. The Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people, two different types of people, shall be separated from thy bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she buried. Stop in the 27th chapter of Genesis. Genesis, turn to your right just a little ways. The 27th chapter, and we begin reading verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling place shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above, and by the sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. What a strong prophecy. Stop in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. We're going to go to the book of Luke's gospel and then the Revelation, but let's stop by and visit Brother Daniel, chapter 2. Second chapter of the book of Daniel. We're nearly there. I'm in Ezekiel now. I just found it. The second chapter of Daniel, and we'll read just a little. I wish I could read the whole. I'd like to read all of this chapter, but I can't. So we'll begin in the 40th verse. And the fourth kingdom shall be as Be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and an iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days, wait a minute, you'll want to underline this verse. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Luke chapter 20. No, let's stop in Daniel again. Chapter, I was going to go on, but let's back up. I'll read just a little verse. 36th verse of the 11th chapter. You might want to mark it. The king shall do according to his will. He'll exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. No doubt the man of sin will be a homosexual. If you wonder why there's such a move on in the world, in fact of the business today, the liberals in the United States are running on the ticket of being for homosexuals being called a lifestyle and for murdering babies. Today, you're almost called a religious right if you don't believe either one of those. We're branded, and there is now, I have it here in my Bible, a clipping from the Houston paper where a group has asked Janet Reno to present a bill to the Congress. They'll make it a felony to say one word against homosexuality. It'll be a felony, not just a crime, a felony. I have the clipping here. Just took it out a few days ago. We're not in a normal generation. If you'd have lived 50 years ago, they would have tarred and feathered a man that would wanted to put homosexuals in the Boy Scouts. Am I right? If you'd have lived 50 years ago, there's not hardly a sinner in Fort Smith and Van Buren that wouldn't have stood up and railed anybody that would have taken a stand for what's being promoted every day on the filthy tube every day. Liberal politicians are more scared that we'll get somebody on the Supreme Court that doesn't believe in murdering babies and homosexuality than there are anything else in the world. Am I right? In fact, the business, we'd better be thanking God for somebody that has some conviction now, because we're nearing the end. He'll not regard the love of women. And he shall magnify himself above every god, and in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, precious stones and pleasant things, and shall do in the most strong hosts with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And I want you to notice, he'll magnify himself, increase with glory, he'll cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Watch it right now, right now. The big issue in the headlines of your paper is dividing the land of Abraham's ranch. Would you turn with me tonight? Let's stop in Luke's gospel. And I'm reading this for the benefit of these young people. They're sitting right here in the front tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and we'll read. My time will get away. And we read these words, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the country enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land. Great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 32, and verily I say, unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. We're living in that very hour. Let me hurry. Revelation chapter 17. The 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, all of you know, is ecclesiastical Babylon, the mother of harlots, a false religion, and watch it. It's being promoted every single day. Every single day it's being brainwashed to a young generation. And I want to read, I'd like to read the whole chapter, but let's begin with verse 12. The 10 horns that thou sawest are 10 kings, which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. Who would have dreamed? The real battleground is against Jesus Christ. See, this is the only old-fashioned book that takes a stand against what's going on in our land. I said, this is the only book. Hell is, could hold high carnival. In fact, I wouldn't even know right from wrong if it wasn't for this old book. This is the Decalogue. This is the truth. I want to share it with you tonight. So, these shall have one mind. They'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Come them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I want to speak to you tonight on the Israeli-Arab crisis. What's happening in the Middle East tonight is exactly according to the prophecy given near 5,600 years ago. Unbelievable that right now I'm seeing God write on the front page of the paper his eternal plan. Father, would you touch us tonight? Would you quicken us once more? Let us breathe celestial air and drink from living fountains. Minister to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let this be a night long remembered because you came to the tabernacle. Walk among us, O God. Make bare your holy arm and show your strength in the midst of the sanctuary. Let our lips be as the pen of a ready writer, and let the countenance of the King bring victory and triumph to this altar tonight. And I'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You do not finish 3 chapters in Genesis till you've got the whole human family contaminated by sin. You hardly finish the 4th chapter till you've got the first murderer. Half of the posterity of Adam is slain. Gone. Cain in his self-will left God out and the blood out and the covenant out and walked out on his own plan. Abel was buried, but you can't stop the saints' blood. It'll keep testifying. For the blood of Abel speaketh better things. Oh, the blood of Christ speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cries out from the ground. Vengeance, 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 judgment. You move over just a chapter, just a chapter. In fact, you don't have to change chapters. And another child is born and his name is Seth. And now something's begin to happen. Men begin to call on the name of the Lord. That's shouting ground. Your Bible tells us the genealogy then. Adam begat Seth, and Seth begat Enos. Enos begat Cainan. Cainan begat Mahalalel. Mahalalel begat Jared. Jared begat Methuselah. Wait a minute. No. Enoch. Wait a minute. We've got a new one now. Enoch. Did you hear what I'm telling you? Jared begat Enoch, and we've already got a rapture. Woo! One of them. Old Enoch slips out of here. That lets me know you can leave here anytime. Enoch begat Methuselah. Methuselah means the deluge sent. I got a belief that old Brother Enoch, when he named that boy, had a revelation. When this boy's life is over, it's all over, and the flood book deluge will come. Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech begat Noah. And the whole human family was contaminated, and there were only 8 left in the church. Only 8 left that were living for God. Noah and Sister Noah. Shem and Sister Shem. Japheth and Sister Japheth, and Ham and Sister Ham. Oh, Noah built a boat and preached righteousness. I like that. I like somebody that can live for God if nobody on your block lives for God. If nobody else in Van Buren believes it, I believe it. Don't try to follow fads and what you see on the TV. Come on, take your stand. Get in this old book and believe righteousness, because that's the only thing that's going to win. Oh, Noah, preach righteousness. No wonder he didn't fill the boat. You preach righteousness tonight and you upset some folks. I've had a few folks upset at me, but it thrills me to know that you can upset folks. I don't want to leave you the same. If I bother you, I intended to. And Brother Noah got off of the boat. When he got off of the boat, Brother Noah, Sister Noah, Shem and Sister Shem, Japheth and Sister Japheth, Ham and Sister Ham got off the boat. And the book said Noah got drunk. I wish he hadn't. I think it was an accident. I like Noah, so I don't think he... Oh, every once in a while, I know you young folks have got enough reason to doubt. You've had good preachers to fail you, and they were known around the world, and that's enough to shake you. And you've had politicians fail, and that's enough to shake. But honey, hold on. God will not fail. Hallelujah. So, I kind of think Noah, I don't think that Noah got drunk on purpose. I hope he didn't. Planted a vineyard, and did I tell you about it? I got a preacher friend that bought some apple cider, not that kind that had been processed. Put it down in the cabinet. Left it there too long, and the stuff fermented. He came in from mowing the lawn, and he was hot as a lizard, and he said, "Have you got anything to drink?" And his wife said, "I don't think there's a Coke in the house." "Well, I'd like to have something." She said, "Oh, there is some cider down here." Dug it out, poured it in an ice-cold glass, and he drank that stuff, gurgled, turned up and said, "I want some more." Drunk 2 big glasses of it, and was so drunk he couldn't hit the ground with his hat. And he had a board meeting that night. Drunk as a skunk, couldn't get up the stairs. His son came in, and he is a drunk. Couldn't even find the rails. Almost like the 2 drunks going down the railroad track. One of them said, "This is the longest stairs I've ever climbed." The other said, "It's not these stairs bothering me, it's these low hand railings." But here he was. Drunk as he could be, drunk, drunk, drunk. His son came in and said, "Dad, you can't have a board meeting," and he put him to bed. So maybe Noah's was an accident. Let's say it was. But old Noah had some sun, but while he was drunk, now folks that are drunk and folks that are sinners don't want to wear clothes. Now some of you have been pretty sober, but some of you haven't had too many clothes on. I found it now. I've already got silence in the house. No fair looking across the aisle. And so, while old Noah was drunk, I don't know all that's involved in this. I don't know, the Bible's a modest book, but it said that his son Ham looked on his father's nakedness, and God hates nakedness. He'll kill animals and make leather clothes before he'll let you run around with a fig leaf swimming suit on. Thank you for one, come on. I'm coming over here. This crowd must be the one and not. I only got an amen on that side. So here, so now then, old Ham looked on. I don't know what's involved in this. This is such a modest book, but Ham looked on his father's nakedness, and God Almighty gave old Noah a prophecy and said, cursed be Canaan, the fourth son of Ham. I wish it wasn't so, but your sons reap the sins of their fathers. Now you're not a blurry-eyed, red-nosed drunk without your whole family suffering over it. And it said, cursed be Canaan. And I didn't understand that, but you see, that whole family was cursed. And your Bible said Canaan was the father of the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Hittites and the Russellites. I mean, he was the father of the whole bunch. And if you wonder why God had no mercy on the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the all those, there's the Morites there, I forgot their name. God had no mercy on them because God put a curse upon Canaan's posterity. Now then, we've got trouble on our hands. We've got Shem and Japheth and Ham, and the four sons got a curse on his family. Well, God looks down and sees this mess, and all of a sudden, there emerges out of this bunch a leader, and his name is Nimrod. He's the first type of the Antichrist. Old Nimrod was a mighty man, a brutal, he seemed to be a dominating, brutal beast. If he'd have been living today, he'd have been for putting homosexuals in the army. And I love the way I shook you then. I see two of you I've already lost. But here it is. He was a brutal man. And your Bible says, now wait a minute, you better hold your, put a little more polygrip on your uppers. Your Bible says he was mighty and he started Babylon, Babel. And his wife's name was Samarius. And he died while she was expecting a baby. And when her son was born, she taught and believed that he was Nimrod reincarnate. And that's where this reincarnation business came from. That the New Agers are teaching now, reincarnation. They're afraid to kill a fly for fear they're killing a first cousin. They should be more afraid of skunks. But anyway, Nimrod was the one that produced this reincarnation. Well, now they build a tower to heaven. And it's not just trying to get to heaven. They're trying to defy God. They're going to worship idolatry. They're going to serve an idol God. We're going to defy God. If the flood came, we'll be up here with our God. And when they did, God came down and confounded the whole bunch and gave them a different language, and they couldn't talk to one another. See, God's still in control. I just thought I'd shout tonight, keep your rapture clothes on. God's still in control. It doesn't matter. He's still there. Now, wait a minute. So, I'll get shouting that. It's going to take me a while to get there. And some of you are going to get off the train before we get to the depot. But here it is. So, God said, I'm going to start over. Shem, I'm going to go into his bloodline. I'm going to go out here and start over. So God goes over to Iraq. And he goes over to Iraq, takes off over there, and he finds an idolater. And his name is Terah. Joshua chapter 24 says he's an idolater. And God says, Terah, I want to talk to one of your boys. Abram, I had Abram and Nahor and Haran. Woo! Now, Haran died a little early, but he called old Papa Abraham. And Papa Abraham had married a good-looking girl by the name of Sarai. Woo! And God said, Abram, get up and get out of thy country. Leave this idolatry. Get out of Iraq. Did you know all of us started in Iraq? God made Adam out of dirt in Iraq. So you're an Iraqi dirt. Oh, we're on shouting ground. I see some of you quit. But now he starts over with Brother Abraham out of Iraq and Sister Sarah. And they pack up their Samsonite and start for Israel. Here they go. They took Lot with them, and they're going to the land of Canaan, and they trudge along the way, and the book said, into the land of Canaan. Woo, that's shouting ground. We're over to Abraham's ranch. The only problem, there's Canaanites there. That's those descendants of Ham, and they're there. That'll surprise you. And then God said, Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And in thee and thy seed shall all nations be blessed. For out of thy posterity shall come a deliverer. Hallelujah. Oh, that's shouting ground. Now I'm just about down to where I wanted to get to. Old Papa Abraham, God said to him, I'm going to change your name. Your name is no longer Abram. It's going to be Abraham, father of many nations. But he didn't even have a son. And God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you one. 10 years went by, and there was no son. Not a son, not one. And Sister Sarai came in and said, Papa Abraham, I think I found the plan. I'm going to give you Hagar. She's an Egyptian. And I'm going to give you Hagar. And maybe that's God's plan. And Abraham missed God's best. And the world is still suffering from it. And so a child was born by the name of Ishmael. Now then, the firstborn son of Abraham is Ishmael. And Ishmael became a great nation. And he dwelt in the Middle East. And that's the beginning of an Arab conflict, because those descendants of Ishmael say, we worship Abraham. And that's why there's a Muslim world, there's a Jewish world, and there's a Christian world mingled in one little land, and every one of them come through a different vein. The Muslim world comes through Mohammed and claimed their descendants of Abraham, and the Jew comes through Abraham's God, and the Christian said, it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. No other name. Well, we're on shouting ground. So now Ishmael, we've got him to put up with. And God said he'll be a wild man. You can't tame him. He'll fight. He'll live in battle. He'll be a terror in the land. And it's so to this day. So to this day. Now then, to add to the problem, we got more problems than this coming up. So, 14 years later, brother Isaac was born of Sarai, a miracle. Woo, you ought to shout on this. It said that Sarai was as good as dead, but by faith she conceived. That means she was an old woman. And she bare Isaac, and in Isaac shall thy seed be, and the promise be fulfilled. Isaac got old enough to get married. And back in those days, the papa chose him. Wouldn't that be wonderful now? Not an amen down here. So, Papa Abraham brings his servant in and said, swear you won't get a daughter of the Canaanites. I don't want my... This is a new bloodline. We're starting again. Go back to the land of my father. And so the servant takes off and he goes back over to Iraq. When he gets over to Iraq, he inquires around and he finds, whoo, this is good. He finds a descendant of Terah by Nahor. And Nahor had a son by the name of Buel. And Buel had a daughter by the name of Rebekah. And he says, Rebekah, you're the one. And he brings her home. And she marries Isaac. And now then, we're going to start again. And she has twins. And one of them is a wild man. You can't tame him. He'll be against every man. He'll dwell in the fatness of the earth. But he will be against his brother. And now we've got the descendants of Esau. Now to add to the problem, Ishmael married into the inhabitants of the land. And he moved into the eastern part of the region. And now Esau married two of the Canaanites. I don't know why he wanted two wives. One's enough to take to Walmart. But he got... But he married two wives, and they were Canaanites. And it said it was a grief to his father and mother. And that's not the only parent that are grieved over who their son married. I got more nods on that than I've got on anything I've preached so far. And then it says he married the next time and married one of Ishmael's daughters. Brother, we have got a mix-up. Ishmael is half Egyptian, a descendant. Give me, folks, because I'm coming to the rapture with a little bit. But we got to find out what's happening over there. So now then, we've got Ishmael's descendants. We've got Esau's descendants. We've got Isaac's descendants through Jacob. But we've got another problem. Sister Sarai died, and they buried her in Machpelah. And when they buried her, old Uncle Abe, he was up in years, but he wanted to get married again. And so he married Sister Keturah. And when he married Sister Keturah, they had seven kids. Six. Had six youngins. Brother, now we got six more saying Abraham's our father. And one of those kids, he named Midian. And it was Midian's descendants that was Moses' wife. See, Moses married a Midianite. That's why that Moses' sister didn't like her. She wasn't in the bloodline, the true bloodline. Oh, Moses married this Midianite, and he didn't like her. I have to be careful about it because she broke out with leprosy for talking about the preacher's wife. I see a few white spots here. But anyway, I'm on shouting ground. Now, wait a minute. You better hold steady with me because I'm coming to the rapture. Now then, we've got six descendants of Abraham and every one of them dwelling in the Middle East. And they say we're descendants of Abraham. And that's why there's a conflict in the Middle East tonight, because all of them say we're descendants of Abraham. But God, 25th chapter of Genesis, settles it. Abraham gave all to Isaac. Hallelujah. The whole thing was settled. And I read the deed in abstract, and all the rest of them were left out of the will. Now, wait a minute. Not quite through. The fifth son of Abraham by Keturah was Jokshan. And Jokshan had two children, and he called them Sheba and Dedan. And to this day, you can find Sheba and Dedan in Saudi Arabia. It's not hard to trace.
see, we're right here. So you can see why there's trouble with Saudi Arabia. You can see why there's trouble with Jordan. You can see why there's trouble with Syria. You can see why there's trouble with Turkey. You can see why there's trouble with Northern Africa, because it's a Muslim conflict over Abraham's kids fighting over the ranch and over descendants of Abraham. Now, wait a minute. Now I'm getting down to, whoo, now something's happening. Something happened just the other day. This is enough to make you shout. Just a few weeks ago, few months ago, on national TV, ABC was there, NBC was there, CNN was there, and every network around the world it flashed. All the cameras were running, and right in front of everybody, Mr. Rabin shook hands with that funny-looking little fellow. That little desert rat, Arafat. Right, it made headline, picture in the front of the class. Said, why is this so great? Two fellas that live over there that run around over those rocky hills for years. Why? I'll tell you why it is. It hasn't happened in three millenniums, and God is writing on the plaster of the wall. Get ready, church. The rapture's about to take place. Woo, hallelujah. Something's happening. I said, something's happening. Something's happening. Something. Well, yeah. Woo. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I watched that, and I sat there, and my blood pressure went up to 397 plus 44. I'm telling you, I said, Jesus, it's happening. It's happening, because tonight, God is doing a new work. Well, wait a minute. See, I've lived to see it happen. In the year of 1897, the Holy Ghost started moving again. Our General Superintendent G. Raymond Carlson's father lived on a farm in northern Minnesota. And on that farm, a man came by who did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Honey, this Holy Ghost baptism is not a happenstance. It's a divine prophecy fulfilled for this last day. On Mr. Carlson's farm, he gathered his neighbors together. He said, I've got a few things from the Word I'd like to share. All of those farmers and ranchers, 1897. This is almost 4 years before Topeka, Kansas. This is what, 9 years before Azusa Street, 7 years, eight. And they're in Mr. Carlson's house. And this brother began to teach, and they fell in prayer. And that prayer meeting lasted around the clock 3 days and three nights. Watch it. The wind is beginning to blow. Come down. Holy Ghost, come down. Woo, come and help me, pal, singer. Come down, Holy Ghost, come down. And while all of a sudden this little lady fell under the power and began to speak in tongues, and the leader of the meeting had never heard of tongues. Nobody had hardly heard of tongues in this century, in that 1800s, and he walked over and looked, and there they were speaking in a foreign language, and he said, can this be the book of Acts? Ooh, did you? I don't think that thrills you like it does me. My thriller's already turned loose on me. It's kind of out of hand. And at that same time, exactly the same time, in Basel, Switzerland, a man by the name of Theodore Herzl, Cham Wiseman, David Ben-Gurion. Theodore Herzl was the author of it. He was an Austrian journalist. 1897, met in Basel, Switzerland. B-E-S-E-L. And while they were there, they said, let's form an organization and petition the nations of the world to let us go home and live on Abraham's ranch. Wait a minute. I don't think you heard what's happening. That was the day the dry bones begin to feel something. A neck bone started looking for a backbone. And a backbone started looking for a leg bone. And a leg bone started looking for a knee bone. Well, I used to preach as the Assembly of God Church, but it has nothing to do with our church. It just resembles some of them. What it is, it's the house of Israel. God is doing a work. I saw it happen. Get your shouting clothes on. Woo! Night 1897, Mr. Herzl goes to the nations of the world and said, would you give us back a parcel of land that we may call our own? For the Star of David had not flown since the time of the Maccabees. And they didn't do it. And World War I broke out. Did you know World War I and World War II both started in Bosnia? Exactly where the conflict is tonight. Exactly where we don't know whether to put planes in or not. In the exact spot where the world's eyes are focused is exactly where World War I and World War II and World War I started by firing one shot. Wait a minute. And when World War I was raging, World War I, in 1917, a general by the name of General Allenby, he had an old 1917 plane, an old slow jet propeller that would barely get across the country because we didn't have decent planes to fight in World War I. And he flew over the land of Israel. The conflict went to Israel. The Turks had had control for 400 years. They had plundered the land. They burned the timber. They destroyed much of the holy places. They've been restored now. But the Turks had had it for 400 years. Descendants of Esau and descendants of Ishmael and had been in the land. But get your shouting clothes on. Old General Allenby flew over in that old propeller plane. And he didn't drop bombs. He dropped leaflets. And it said, surrender, General Allenby. Well, see, their God was Allah. And they thought, Allah, our God came and told us to surrender. They ran out and waved white flags. And the Turks surrendered Jerusalem and Israel without firing a shot, because God did it. Hallelujah. Now, wait a minute. I'm just down where it's getting good now. And old General Allenby said, now, Abraham's ranch, Jerusalem, belongs to Great Britain. We have conquered it. They surrendered. And it was in Britain's hands. And in 1922, the League of Nations confirmed a confirmation and said, we will let the Jew go back to Palestine, to the land of Canaan. He can return. But the Arab world raised up and said, oh no, if you do, you're not our friend. And they put so much pressure on till they stopped it. And when they stopped them, then Israel forbid them to go back. But God made a covenant back in Genesis and said, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. Our God's still on the throne. And I don't think you're listening. Okay, now wait a minute, follow me. At that time, Great Britain was the greatest country in the world. When I went to school, both days I went. Happiest 3 years of my life was in the fifth grade. Lady took me serious on that and said, I hate it you stayed so long in the fifth grade. That's not true. But I did set up with a teacher. She liked for me to be right by her. I was her pet. She wanted me right up for her desk all the time. It's wonderful to be that close to the teacher and just love you that much. I had been in the back, but she wanted me right up by her all the time. Close fellowship. I could tell she just loved me. But when your hair is this color and you got a lot of ideas, you can get trouble by yourself. I'm sure glad I didn't have Bobby Johnson for a teacher. Woo, he'd have beat the daylight. I already heard about him today. Or Jaquita Cantrell. But now here it is. Now wait a minute. When I went to school, I read in the history book, the sun never set on British soil. Britain controlled India, much of Africa, much of the islands of the seas, much of South America. Brother, it was Great Britain. But not now. What happened? What broke up the greatest nation in the world? Because they broke their covenant with God's people. And Britain came today to where it's not a major world power. Well, wait a minute now. They forbid 1939. Britain said not one Jew can go back. And World War II broke out. And England was bombed. The nations of the world got into a conflict. But when it was settled, and brother, this is enough to shout about, May the 14th, 1948, they met at the League of Nations, the Security Council, and signed a document and said, you descendants of Isaac, we're going to give you a piece of Abraham's ranch. I lived to see it. I was preaching a revival. You couldn't sleep that night. Woo! I said, he's coming tonight. Hallelujah. I hollered. I hooped. I said, come, Jesus. Hallelujah. If the northern lights had showed up, I'd have been out of here. May, did you know we saw it? May 1948. But they signed and the Jew goes back to a little piece of land that lies up along the Mediterranean. And when they did, they had no weapons. They had no ammunition. They were an unstable group. It had barely formed. But honey, the winds are blowing now. I said, the wind is blowing. For the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is sweeping across the world. And God Almighty said, it was the breath of heaven that raised Ezekiel's dry bones. And this outpouring of the Holy Ghost is synonymous with that manifestation of God in the land of Abraham. Now, wait a minute. 1948, all of the Arab world, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, all turned on that little group. They could not win a war. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have ability. They couldn't win. They couldn't win. Some of them didn't even have guns. They painted broomsticks black and carried them like they had guns. I've seen some of the pictures. And Egypt came marching across that desert, bit and said, we'll wipe them out. They cannot do it. But when they did, our preacher who pastored in the edge of Los Angeles, this side of Los Angeles, Brother Lois Hoff, you know him? Lois Hoff flew over there and he heard about it and he interviewed on tape. He interviewed on film Egyptian soldiers and said, why did you leave your tanks running? Why did you surrender? Why did you lay down your heavy artillery? Why did you leave your fighting equipment, your automobiles and everything? And they said, we saw tens of thousands of soldiers coming over those sand dunes in white. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, my God is doing something in this day. It's a sovereign act of Almighty God. All of that, descendants of Ishmael, descendants of Esau, descendants of out of Keturah's kids, could not drive them into the sea, because it's the end time and God's covenant is intact. And get your shouting clothes on. I don't want to leave an impression with you that Israel's turned to God. They haven't. They're against Jesus Christ. And one third of them will be slain in Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter number 13 says, there is trouble, trouble, trouble lying. But I want to shout, God said, I'll keep my end of the bill. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. June 1967, 6th day of June, you might as well put this on your calendar, 6th day of June, the whole middle, they'd had 14 major wars, 14, but now then they've all come with their armies, and this time they said, there will be no escape for Israel, we'll drive them into the sea. But before the Egyptians' planes could get off of the ground, they had wiped out their entire air force. And they crossed the Suez Canal, and we had to come back, boys. You've gone too far. You're causing more trouble than you're worth. Amen. Why? And now, wait a minute. I tell you, if you're going to have a spell, you better get your speller intact, because here is one. June 6th day war, 1967. No longer is it a little parcel of ground that lies along the Mediterranean. But when the guns quit firing and the tanks quit rolling, Jerusalem is back in the hands of Abraham's kids. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Get your shouting clothes on. I said it's the last of the last day. The outpouring of the Spirit, the regathering of Abraham's kids, the land of the city of Jerusalem has the Star of David flying tonight, and they're putting a crown on David's tomb. He's coming back. Shout it tonight, you ransomed of Zion. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Woo! Hallelujah. Now wait a minute. That's not all. Ooh, I'm on shouting ground. I never will get through now. But you'll... Something happened. You might ought to put this down. November 1989. Mr. Gorbachev got up one morning. I think that's right. I think I got it. Mr. Gorbachev got up one morning. What's wrong with me? Something wrong with me. I don't care if they go over the wall. They've been shooting the daylights out of them. And I sat in front of the TV and saw them come over that wall, and I saw one with a battering ram. And I sat there and wept like a baby. I said, my Lord, you're doing something bigger than I can understand. And I turned to the old book, and the old book said, Jeremiah said, wait a minute, Ezekiel said it, it will no more be said, saith the Lord. I'm the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt, but I'm the Lord that brought you back from the land of the north. And from that day to this, there's over 1 million of Abraham's kids have come home from that land that couldn't get a visa, couldn't leave home. They begged to leave, but they're coming home. They're coming home because God has written, and God with one foot kicked down a Berlin Wall without firing a shot and brought back 1 million of Abraham's kids and said, come on back, boys. I've done it. Hallelujah. Shh. espíritu de morir. I heard something the other day that made me shout, because God said there'd be a remnant that would turn to God. And I just heard the other day that over in Georgia, which was part of Russia, over there the other day they had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and literally hundreds and hundreds of Jews gave their hearts to God, and many of them were baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Woo! They're going. Can I tell you, God's doing it. God's doing it. I said, you better lift up your head. Our redemption draweth nigh. I said, they can come home now. Wait a minute. So now then, the whole world is a tinderbox. The whole world is a tinderbox. America's a tinderbox. We're afraid to make a decision. The hoodlums will destroy our cities. We don't know what to do. We're in check in America. America's afraid. We're living behind bars. We're scared to death. You can get killed going to the little grocery store on the corner. It's a world in trouble. South Africa, Africa, Somalia, Bosnia, Honduras. Wherever you look, there's trouble, trouble, trouble. Afghanistan, Japan. Wait a minute. The whole world is trembling. But get your shouting clothes on. God is doing something, and he's writing on the front page of the paper. And I can understand why that Mr. Rabin and Mr. Perez would shake hands with Arafat, because God's covenant is being fulfilled, and this Arab crisis is exactly on schedule, and the church is about ready to leave here. Our Lord's are coming back to earth again. I wish I could preach about it, but it can't take time to talk about where the Antichrist is going to come from, but you can pinpoint it because the book's exactly distinctly depicts it. But somebody said, Brother Brankle, who do you think the Antichrist is alive? Lady came to me the other night and said, Brother Brankle, do you think he's alive now? I said, I don't know. There's several that would fit. But I don't know whether he's alive or not. I don't know when he's going to show up. And I'll tell you the truth, I could care less. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the nail prints in his hands to shout and summon his church to meet him in clouds of glory. And prophecy is writing it on the front page. Woo! But that's not all. You might ought to get ready for some more. You see, now then, the Russian bears still restless, because Mr. Yeltsin is not in control. The army is in control. He's a figurehead. He's a puppet. He's just dangling out there. And they've got a mean one coming up. Shirinovsky. Well, anyway, a name that bad, don't matter how you pronounce it. Here he is. He is as mean as a striped spider. Has to sleep with one eye open to keep from hurting himself. And he says, wait a minute, he put in print. Now, wait a minute. He's born a Jew, but he won't admit it. Something strange about that, because this book says that that man, when he comes, will not honor the God of his fathers. And I read in the paper the other day, I have it in print, whether it's true or not, I don't know, because you can't believe everything you read in the paper. I don't even believe anything about our president. I don't believe it's altogether right what she does. But Chernovsky, whatever his name is, he said, I will take Alaska back. He said, I will invade Israel. Put it in print. It's on the headlines. I'm going to move. Wait a minute. See, whenever the wall came down, people came around and said, "Preacher, you preached that Russia would invade Israel." I said, "Yes, sir, and I'm still preaching it stronger than I ever did." Because God said Rosh would come with Iran and Ethiopia and Libya. And here they'd come, and they'd come against Israel. And watch it. The stage is set. And right now, Russia's producing more arms than they've ever produced in their history. Right now, wait, you're not following me. Russia's selling arms and secrets to Iran and Iraq. Mr. Saddam Hussein, Hussein, furnished the money for this Chernovsky to win his election and his party rights. The whole stage is set for this man to rise up, and the end is at hand. Get your shouting clothes on. And while all this is happening, I'm getting ready, get ready. While all this is happening, the nations of Europe are forming a European community. And I read in this book that there would be a revised Roman Empire. And I read in this book where out of that iron kingdom would rise 10 kings, and these 10 kings would be two different types of people that would mingle together but wouldn't glue together, but they would become one and would give their power and their strength to one man, the Antichrist. Did you know something happened? You might ought to put on your calendar. November the 1st, 1983, the European community went into effect, a one currency, building a world bank in Germany. The whole thing fell into focus. November the 1st, 1993. I'm not going to tell you tonight that this is the 10 kingdoms, because there are 12, but wait a minute, they're right now shuffling. We're not sure what's going to happen to Romania, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, and Poland, and many of the nations of Europe. We're not sure. The whole thing is shaking tonight, and she won't glue together. But your Bible said, and I read it in your hearing tonight, I am fully convinced that this is the beginning of the end. This 10-toed beast, this 10-horned beast, this 10-kingdom confederacy is beginning to come in light, and it went into effect November the 1st, 1993, and I saw it, and they had it on the idiot box. And I had both hands up saying, that's it. Keep your shouting clothes on, Don. This is the beginning of the end. For in the days of these 10 kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never, never, never be moved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, did you hear what I'm saying? In the days of these kings shall God set up his kingdom. If that's true, folks, we're so close to the rapture, we might ought to wave a banner back to heaven and shout, "Here am I, come and get us." Hallelujah. Our Lord's are coming back to us. So our nation has fallen farther in the last year and a half than it had in the previous 100 years. Morals have decayed. Our nation is crumbling faster than it's ever crumbled. I just thought I'd tell you up front, no nation can survive under our policy we're running now. She'll burn. 1 out of 230 Americans have AIDS now, and 3 times that many have it in Dade County, Florida. 1 in 30 Haitians have it, and they're coming over by the boatload. Mister, this old world can't hang. She can't hang.